deals, you'll find huge savings on custom prints, storage, chairs, and tech. And now save up to $175 off your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. Ends 2-1.
This is your overnight KIIC weather update for all of Southern Iowa. There's a chance of snow in your overnight with new snow accumulation of less than half an inch possible. With increasingly cloudy skies and a low of 7, with wind chill values as low as negative 5. To bring it to your Tuesday with partly sunny skies, gradually becoming sunny with a daytime high of 17.
It's time for Just Start Talking on Thunder Country. Just Start Talking is a community service program from KIIC. And now, with your host, Pat Powers, here's Just Start Talking.
For my installment of Just Start Talking, I got an individual who's very familiar with Albia Ford. I have Christopher Patriarco. Christopher, thanks for being with me here on KIIC.
Thanks for inviting me, Pat.
Absolutely. Welcome into Albia. You've been here for a little while, but it's great to have you on Just Start Talking. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about where you grew up at and what you like to do as a young kid.
Sure. I grew up in New York. I kind of grew up in two places. One being the city, but that's not where my mom was from. And when we moved out of the city, we went back into central New York. Cornell University, most people are familiar with where that is, Ithaca, New York. Grew up in a full-blooded Italian family, both mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, on both sides. Had a great childhood, no major issues that nobody else didn't have. But I grew up a little bit different than most people. I started working very, very young because both of my grandfathers owned businesses. One owned an Italian restaurant, and the other one owned a car dealership and a gas station, and amongst other things. So I would say the first time I can recollect was probably 6 or 8 years old. On a Saturday morning, my grandfather had me washing wheels on cars every Saturday. And he'd pay me $5 or $10. And at that time, 40 years ago, that was a lot of money.
Big money.
That's back when five and dimes were still around.
That's true. That is exactly right.
Yeah.
And those working skills were ingrained into you because there is such a thing as work ethic.
Oh.
You were able to gain that experience and put it to good use.
I really did. Up until probably, I'd say, give or take, about 14 years old, I'd help both grandfathers in the back. Because, you know, I wasn't really able to be out in the front because of child labor laws, if there was a thing back then. But I do remember one specific thing that has stayed with me my whole entire life. It was a Saturday morning. I was probably 14 years old. My grandfather, on our car dealership, he needed somebody to go outside and take these older folks inside. He said, I want you to pretend like you're their grandson. Bring them inside, get them something to drink, sit them down, and just keep them entertained. I'll be over in a few minutes. And I watched him come over, and he was a Vietnam vet. He only had one arm, and he would shake everybody's hand right away. And I remember later on that day, he made a comment that a car deal is done right there on the handshake. And it was not until later in life I realized that if you just take care of people, they'll come back to you. And he had so many people who just keep coming back year after year. So probably from age 14, I realized you just take care of people and they'll take care of you. May not be today, but it'll be down the road somewhere, sometime. And I've kind of kept that with me my whole life. And I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit later, but as I moved here from Houston, Texas, I didn't know where Albia was. There's 3,800 people here. I'm used to big city stuff. I've been called a city slicker out here already. But I love it here because I didn't realize and I knew this coming here. You do right by people, and they'll do right by you. you don't do right by people. And in a small town, it probably word moves a lot quicker.
Wildfire.
Yeah. So just take care of people.
So going back to that first experience with your grandfather working at the car dealership, what brand was that?
Chevy Oldsmobile and Cadillac.
Nice.
Back in the day.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was.
So talk about your next step from there. Yeah, you spoke about cleaning wheels. Then what was the next step that you did?
When I was legally able to start working, right away I started selling cars. And it was, to me, easy. Even though I was young, people didn't necessarily know that I knew my stuff. I would go home at night, and back then we had brochures. We don't have those no more. It's called online.
Right.
But I would take brochures home, and I would read them over and over and over. So if you asked me horsepower on this, or what's the bed length of this truck, or whatever it may be, I wanted to be able to have that answer.
Because you have to know.
You really do, because if a customer comes in and they're looking for you to be the expert, and they don't feel that you're the expert, they'll go somewhere else.
Right.
And that means they're going to buy somewhere else.
Wow.
We have a big saying in the car business that if someone has gone dealership to dealership to dealership, it's not always that they're shopping price. They're looking for a salesman. They're looking for someone that can take care of them and they can trust them. And that's where the sale happens.
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet. Okay, talk a little bit about the other grandparents. You indicated that he had a restaurant. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so full-blooded Italian, myself, my whole family. Grew up in an Italian neighborhood. My grandfather owned a restaurant. It was called Hollywood, which is not very Italian, but as soon as you walked in, you felt it. Frank Sinatra's pictures on the wall, all this great stuff. And obviously, being Italian, I had a huge fascination with everything that we did. To the point that when my grandfather passed, I didn't want anything. I didn't want money. I wanted two things. I wanted his pinky ring, and I wanted the recipe. And I got it. Ever since then, which was 2001, I've basically guarded the recipe, our family recipe, for years. I've opened, over the course of my life, I'm 44. Every time I get out of the car business, I go open a restaurant. Like, that's just me. People always ask me, well, you know, you're good at selling cars. I was brought here from Houston to do the job and be the face of Albia Ford. And the guy that brought me here has known me for 12 years, and he knows I'm very good at what I do when it comes to just talking to people and taking care of people. But I have to tell you, Pat, my passion is food. It really is.
Everybody's got to eat.
Everybody's got to eat. And sometimes it chokes me up because it really is. So on Sundays, if you ever want pasta, I purposely make extra pasta. And I live in Melrose. And right across from me is a place called Feehan's Pub.
Right.
And I bring it over there and I feed Ashley and I feed a couple of the workers because they ask me now, hey, what are you making this Sunday? So I'm hoping that soon, if I could find some local investors, I would really like to take over one of the spots here in Albia and turn it into an Italian restaurant.
Wonderful!
This place needs it. It deserves it. And I don't want to drive to Des Moines to go get good Italian food.
Bingo! Because that would be the closest place.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Good deal. All right. So with this transaction, by the way, we're talking with Christopher Patriarco, and we're talking about his involvement with Albia Ford. And before we get into individual skills in terms of selling and so on and so forth, talk about the refurbishment. Talk about the remodeling job that went on, a huge project there.
Oh, yeah. So I wasn't here for the beginning of it. I'm here for basically the end of it. We've taken almost, I want to believe, over a year to completely redo Albia Ford. If you've seen it before and you walked in there today, you wouldn't recognize the inside. Ford had a lot to do with the scheme of things. And Ford is one of those forward-looking, thinking companies. And here's what everyone that's listening, me and, everybody knows this. When you go into a car dealership, there's usually a glass wall. That's where the managers sit, right?
Yeah.
They get to talk in secret. They get to do this, do that. And you can't hear them. You can see them sometimes. Well, not at LB Ford. We are on the showroom floor. I, being the general manager, general sales manager, I actually am the porter. We wear a lot of help hats at LB Ford. But if you needed to see me, the boss man, I'm right there on the showroom floor.
Good.
My salespeople are in an open air, showroom. We're not trying to hide nothing. We know the history of LB Ford, and we know that it was started by brothers that were from here, and we want to try from our standpoint in moving forward, carry on some of that, and of course bring in our own little spice that we do. But we don't hide behind anything. You're not going to have a closed door where I come popping out and try to slam you into this car. The industry itself, because I've been in it my whole life, has changed drastically.
Oh yeah.
Over the time, I can tell you, two instances that I know for sure. One was when the internet came out. Now everybody had access to a lot more information, and the buyer was now more educated. And then when they got rid of brochures,
sure,
which was just a couple years ago. And I don't think it was a move to save paper. I think it was a move to give the consumer as much information as they can from online before they come into the dealership. Because most people can probably attest, the last time you went to buy a car, it was an all-day affair.
Sure.
And I don't like that.
Sure.
I don't like that. I've been really good about, over the course of my time in this industry, to I guess one of the skills that I've developed is being able to be efficient. Nobody wants to hang out with me at a car dealership. Maybe a couple people that I've got here locally that come and see me, like Catherine Berkman from the bank. She comes down and hangs out with me every now and then. Usually brings me a rum cake.
Good.
Which is amazing.
You bet.
Oh, yeah. So, it's completely redone. Here shortly, we're going through the city stuff right now. But I think within the next 2 weeks, what most of the locals call the salon, or I don't really know, but the red building on the corner there.
To the south of Albia Ford.
Yep. We're knocking that down. And we're going to put a nice used car display on that side so we can obviously take care of the locals.
Yeah.
There are no other car dealerships right here close to us.
Right.
So I'm used to that. Where I walk across the road, there's Honda, there's Toyota, there's... You don't have that here.
Right.
You just don't.
Well, as an outsider looking in, coming into this community, I've noticed that the inventory has exploded in terms of vehicles. There wasn't a whole lot when I first started, basically 2-3 years ago,
yeah.
Coming over here to be the newsman. And so consequently, it's nice to see a full lot.
Thanks. I can say that I'm part of that reason. Before I got here, I think I had about 17 used cars and maybe 30 new. I sit total right now with 127 total cars on the lot. So I kind of have to knock down a building somewhere.
Yeah.
I need room.
And the
big reason behind that is one of the things that we do that's different than I would assume most of the local, if there was, either a Tumwa dealers or whatever, is because we have connections to Houston. We buy a lot of cars from Houston and ship them up.
Sure.
And the main reason why we do that is not just because we have connections there, but they don't have snow there. We have no rust.
Good point. That's a huge point.
It is. And we've asked people, would you pay more for a car that you knew was never in salt and brine and stuff? And yes. The answer is always yes.
Right.
So
yeah,
that's one thing that was first and foremost is... ramp up this inventory so people around can have more to choose from, right? And we're there. I think I'll kind of probably add a little bit more here in the next couple months because we just need more room. But we got to fill the room that we're going to have here when we knock down that building.
I'm talking with Christopher Patriarco. And here at Albia Ford, and Christopher, with that fact that you have the inventory, you have the remodeling done, you also have service available there, and you need that as well.
You really do. And my service department's going to love me for this. They carry us. They've been carrying us. And it's I wouldn't say daily, but one of our goals right now is, we had a customer come in yesterday. He had been driving to Oskaloosa because at some point, someone made him mad over here. It wasn't me, but 2 or 3 years he'd been driving over there. Something had happened with that dealer, and he decided to drive into our place yesterday. And I made it a point to sit down with this man and explain to him, we are Albia Ford, the new Albia Ford. We want your business. If there's something we've done wrong, please tell us. I can't fix anything if I don't know.
Exactly.
Here's what I'll say about my service department. We have two master techs that are probably better than any master tech I've ever seen in this industry. I've got a young kid who's like 23 years old. He'll be within the next 2.5 to 3 years, one of the youngest certified master techs in Ford. That says a lot. What it says to us is, one, he's a local boy. He will come up to me, and he's kind of my used car guy. Like, if I've got issues with used car, I go right to him. He does not want to put a vehicle out on the streets that he can't trust. At 23 years old, that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
We also have another tech who's our head master tech. He's been at Albia Ford since he was in high school.
There you go.
That's just... I love that man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you were talking earlier about 3,800 people and being from a big city, which, you know, New York City, number one in terms of population, but Houston, I think it's number four.
Yeah.
But honestly, you might be able to know all 3,800 before you're done here.
That's probably a true statement. And I got to add to that, because going back to my service guys, they'll come up to me if a local guy that they know who this is, and they've been servicing the truck for years. Mama drives an Explorer, Dad drives a truck, and they've been working on their vehicles. They'll come up to me and say, hey, Christopher, I want you to meet so-and-so. I want you to meet so-and-so. He's been a loyal customer here in our service
department. Oh, bingo.
You know, and that's just, and I have to say this because, yes, they're Ford certified master techs, but we do all makes and models. They can almost work on every car, except for maybe the high-end Ferraris and, you know, Lamborghinis and stuff, but I'd probably put them on it before I put anybody else on it.
Good.
Almost every time I do an appraisal, I take one of my techs with me.
Oh.
Because I don't want to see I can't always judge these cars. I put all my trust almost in my service department, because I'll throw them a Traverse, or I'll throw them a Blue Oval Ford, and they'll just fix it all. It's amazing.
Well, it's good to have, for sure. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about partnership with the Sheraton Quick Link.
Yes. So when the owner bought Albia Ford, it came with Sheraton Ford at that time. Ford did not necessarily want two stores that close to each other.
Right.
So we made the decision, of course, with Ford to close down the sales side and make it a Quick Link.
At Sheraton.
In Sheraton. And it has just done amazing. We did a remodel, revamped everything. I've got Carlo over there who knows everybody in Sheraton. And it's just taking care of good people.
Good.
You know, tires, you name it.
Well, I was going to say, you got the oil changing going on. You've got the battery sales as well, right? What else?
Tires.
Okay.
Yep. We're very competitive on our tire prices, like really competitive.
Well, yeah.
We actually have some vehicles just on display over there. We can't sell them out of there.
True.
But what we do is we bring them back here, show them, you know, to you.
Okay.
But this way, everybody was so used to seeing vehicles in Sheraton. So when we closed it down the sales side and made it the Quick Lane, now, or before I got here, there was no cars over there on display.
Right.
Now you can drive by there and there's a bunch of new and used just sitting there, just waiting for someone to come look at it.
I appeal from the street is worth a lot.
It really is.
You know, honestly, there's nothing like a new car smell either. You know, it's really kind of intoxicating.
It is. It really is. And I drive, my owner's very, very forgiving and a very, very good guy. So I drive a Ford every day. I try to stick to usually my truck, especially around here now that we're getting some little winter weather. But I've almost drove every single vehicle that we have, including the Ford Lightning truck, to home in Melrose and back for a couple days. And I got to tell you, I got in a used car yesterday, and I missed that smell from the new car. Because I had my car, it was out as a loaner to one of the local guys that we had in for service, so I just jumped in one of my used cars. And it was still a Ford, but it was an older 250.
Right.
And it just didn't have that new car smell.
I'm talking for my edition of Just Start Talking with Christopher Petriarco, and he is going to be telling us a little bit more about what's happening at Albia Ford. But let's go to the salesperson persona, the skills that they have. I mean, when you ask a question, there's a certain cadence in terms of getting information out. You don't want to ask too many closed questions, which are yes or no. You want to have some open questions, which means, tell me about this. So how do you feel about that? Give us a little input on the sales side.
Sure. Now, I would have to tell you that I think this came naturally to me. My grandfather always told me I had the gift of gab. But until I learned to listen is really the skill that needs to be perfected. You can have all these great word tracks and know what to say here and so on and so forth. You can know the vehicle inside and out and just spew out all this information. But if you don't ask the right question, like you said, open-ended, so I get a little bit of information, instead of asking someone what they're looking for, it's a lot easier to ask them what's the use of this vehicle. Because right off the bat, especially around here, you'll figure it out real quick. If he tells you a 350, the next question your customer's going to ask you is, does it have a fifth wheel setup?
Right.
Because they tow everything.
Exactly.
And that's this area, of course. I would have to say, and I've been through some high-level professional trainings, so on and so forth. I do believe that sales is a trained skill. But if you don't have the heart to just genuinely take care of people, and this could be customer service at a thrift shop or at the local clothing boutique, hairdresser, I wouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people knock car salesmen.
Yeah.
And they
get a bum rap.
Yeah. But it's also kind of justified. There's been a lot of crooked people selling cars over the years. And it's just, you don't have to do it that way.
Right.
Like I said, that's why I'm so proud of, us at Albia Ford and Ford's direction to take it into an open showroom. I can't hide. Literally, I'll have customers walk in. I'm sitting right there. You know where Christopher is. I'm on the showroom. And I think the biggest thing that I've learned over the years that I've been in sales, from restaurant side of things to, everyday car sales, and that is genuinely listen. When people talk, you were born with two ears and one mouth.
Right.
Shut that mouth and listen.
Yep.
But a lot of times salespeople like to talk and talk and talk. Right? And you can talk over a customer, and before you know it, the customer's shaking your hand saying, thank you, have a nice day.
Yeah.
I'll call you tomorrow.
And that won't happen.
It's not.
Once they're out the door, chances are they're not coming back.
Nope. They're going to go somewhere else to look for a salesperson that they can trust.
Well, that's cool. That's common sense items there. Let's talk a little bit about the partnership that was created with KIIC. We had Blue Christmas over there before Christmas with the law enforcement folks. And I got to tell you, first of all, we were able to see that remodeling that got taken care of. But second of all, it was really neat to see customers come in while we were there. A good mix. It was good relationship that was going on. But in theory, you opened your arms up to say, yeah, why don't you come here and do it at the showroom?
Absolutely. And I would do that every year. No problem whatsoever. I don't think it's about publicity from my side. What it is I, one, have always looked at law enforcement as who they are. Do they make mistakes? So do I. But they put their life out there. So to allow them to come in and take over your radio station, it was quite amazing. Like, I was kind of blown away at first because I was like, wait, there's no script. It's just open mic.
That's true.
And at one point, you guys had 6 to 8 men, women, officers playing around the table.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow.
It was cool.
It really was. And it was great to have you guys in the dealership. I mean, it was just great. And then you asked me, hey, do you want to get on real quick? And I was like, yeah. And you said 3 minutes. And I'm like, whoa, I don't even get to rehearse for this. What? We just freestyled it. And it was amazing.
But it was also a chance for a collection of toys and whatnot. Yep. Talk about that.
Yeah, so we did a first annual toy drive. Great success. I think it went to Helping Hands locally. My assistant actually set it all up. And we're going to do it again next year, without a doubt. We just need to do a little bit better promotion-wise. I'll get out in the community to make sure everybody. But we're going to also do some other things down the road to just bring the community into Albia 4. Because, again, I come from a passion of taking care of people. My passion is to feed people. But that'll come in due time again. And it's like, I've said this multiple times throughout my life and here today, I've always noticed that if you take care of people, they'll take care of you.
Yeah.
And it's always not right away. And once you learn that, it's a really easy life to live that, I mean, I barely moved here 120 days ago, 4 months ago. And if I needed something, I'd probably have 10 people I can pick up the phone and say, hey.
Help me out. And it gets done.
It does. That's what I love about small town America.
Yeah.
Like, well, and this is probably the smallest town I've ever lived in and worked in, for sure. You know, going from New York, I did spend some time in Florida. I did spend a little bit of time in, you know, that area of the world as well. But when I lived in Houston, it's an hour everywhere.
Sure.
Just go to Walmart. It's an hour.
Oh, my.
And it's not because it's an hour away.
Oh,
there's just so many people.
Yeah, the traffic.
I tell you, I love middle of America, small town America, because not only does everybody help each other out, because that's all you.
On the Cyclone Sports Network, from Learfield, welcome to the Cyclone Coach's Corner, powered by Chevron Renewable Energy Group. Also brought to you by Hy-Vee, who proudly supports the Iowa State Cyclones. Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Now, live, here's the voice of the Cyclones, John Walters.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Cyclone Coach's Corner, fueled by Chevron. Fueling your game for a lower carbon tomorrow makes you a winner today. Glad you could join us, because we have a couple of winners with us, T.J. Hanselberger and Bill Fenley, and both of them enjoyed really good weeks. Jeff Grummer from B&G Video Productions in Ames is our guest co-host, and we start off with Coach Fenn. And awesome week for your team, Coach, going down to Arizona State and Arizona and sweeping. Very difficult to do. That's an Arizona team in particular that have been to 4 straight NCAA tournaments. So to go onto their home floor in front of a great crowd and not only beat them, but beat them convincingly, just a great week for your team.
Yeah, John, it really was. Really proud of our team. Very unique situation. We hadn't done that before, to go down and then you stay there.
Right.
It felt like we were there a week. I just, you know, just you're so used as a coach into a rhythm of, you play, you know, you come home or you play, you practice, and you get in your next game, and it just it wasn't that way. And I really was, obviously very proud of the way we played, but really proud of our team and just how they handled everything. You know, the mechanics of moving and different hotels and travel and whatever. And but we played really well both times.